You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content.
When I die and I lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. When I lay me down to die, going up to the spirit in the sky. Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm gonna go.
Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Marquette program, Joe Marquette.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Team Martech on WCNO. Obviously, this is not Joe Martech speaking with you. I'm Alan Love, and I'm hosting, having the pleasure of hosting today. And we have some guests in the studio, and I will introduce them to you right now. One of our most prominent guests on this show is Vince Rosino, a forensic accountant. A forensic accountant is not only a CPA, but a forensic accountant is one who is recognized by the courts as an expert and can testify in most any case that deals with accounting as an expert. And Vince, welcome.
Thank you very much, Alan. Always a pleasure to be here.
And also we have with us today Mike Paulus. Mike Paulus is a wonderful mortgage broker from the Palm City area, the Stewart area. And Mike, welcome to you.
Thank you, Alan.
And we're going to have a couple of other guests, I believe, but we'll introduce them when they arrive. One of them is interested in conversation outside the studio, so it better be interesting. Otherwise, you're going to be penalized for being late, Mr. Warren. Anyway, let's get the show rolling. Our phone number is 888-221-8990. This is audience participation. As you know, Team Martech, their goal is to try and help you in many different facets, but most of them related to living human life. And those facets are Vince Rosino, obviously taxes and accounting is his area, and Mike Paulus, a mortgage broker, talking to you about interest rates, what's going on in the mortgage market, helping you to get a mortgage broker, many, many plans that allow you to do that. We're now blessed with Mr. Dan Warren, one of the most excellent insurance, independent insurance agency agents in the area. You have, what, almost 100 companies under your umbrella, isn't that right, Dan?
We do, Alan. I mean, they don't all do one type of insurance. Some of them may do more, like personalized, like auto or home. Some do commercial, workers' compensation, restaurants, things like that. So, but yes, probably close to 100 or more.
Well, of course, the mission of this show and the mission of the Martech Group is really to help people help themselves, really, because of the fact we have Victoria Lloyd, who is with RE/MAX of Stewart, a wonderful real estate agent. Obviously, Victoria's goal is to try and help you to come into the home that's best for you. And then, of course, we have Greg Fasula. Greg is a wonderful trust and estates attorney who is interested in making sure that all of your ducks are in order as you're ending your life and passing your legacy and what you have to other people. And of course, last but not least, and he's swimming with the lobsters this week, is Joe Martek.
With the fishes?
No, well, I think it's the lobsters this week. A couple of weeks ago, he swam with the fishes. But Joe is taking a well-deserved week off to be with part of God's creatures. And, of course, this show on WCNO, one thing about the Martek Group, they all have a very strong faith very strong love of the Lord, and all of us here at WCNO and the WCNO family know what that's all about.
Do you think Joe can multiply the lobsters?
You'll have to ask Joe. I am not getting involved in that question whatsoever this week, but I will get involved in something that hopefully will interest you. We're going to do this later in the show, so because I want to give everybody here a chance to update you and talk about their areas. But as some of you know from listening, we've hinted that I personally had a situation with a car dealer that wasn't good, but I learned a lot, and we're going to talk about that, not specifically about the car dealer, but we're going to do it generically. We're going to use as an example Studebaker dealer number one, who is not a good dealer, and Studebaker dealer number two, who was a very good dealer. And the reason we're doing that is obviously Studebakers have not been made in the United States since 1963, and I'm unaware of any Studebaker dealers still in existence. So we don't want to hurt dealers, or we don't want to do commercials for dealers that are very good. You've got to do your due diligence. And Vince, let me start with you. Due diligence has a lot to do with accounting and finding a good accountant, doesn't it?
Well, I think due diligence covers a wide waterfront. Due diligence basically is investigating, inquiring, and so that you prepare yourself for the transaction you're about to engage in. So you learn as much as you can about the product you're buying, the service you're buying, the company that you're buying it from. And that's the proper due diligence that you need to do, and that goes across all areas of life.
Well, you know, we all like to have, from my perspective, I like to have an educated consumer. I love to have someone who comes into the office who understands a little bit about what's going on. What I don't like is to have someone, and everything he knows is from his neighbor. Right? Because we all have that neighbor who seems to know exactly what you want or exactly what you need, and in many cases it's only half. So you know, you have to be prepared to do a good job if you're going to be self-educated.
You know, there was a very large apparel company up in New York called Sims, and you people who ever came from that area, and they know what their slogan was: an educated consumer is my best customer.
Absolutely.
So,
well, don't you think that's
right?
That's part of our job, to educate our
absolutely
consumers?
Absolutely. Yes. You know,
we have to take the time to tell them how the programs work, how to get them pre-qualified in my situation, how to get them to be qualified for more of a loan, for example.
And you have to watch them, because sometimes as you're going through these explanations, you can see their eyes glazing over. Because so you know you've lost them somewhere along the line. So now you got to slowly, gently, and lovingly bring them back to the things you want them to know, because, you know, we know this like the back of our hands, but they don't. It's a brand new thing for them.
We use acronyms, and we use different verbiage that we use in our everyday business that maybe the consumer doesn't know about. So we have to take our time and put it in plain English.
Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we all try to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the same thing in my business. We have to educate the client as to what they should expect, what kind of service they're going to get, what should they be getting. People don't know what they're getting or what they're paying for.
Well, as part of our education today, Vince, you indicated that you have some anything new that you want to talk about?
Well, no, it's sort of, I think as we come back here weekly, I try to throw in some things because, you don't want to overly burden people with these the new tax code. But there is something, they've revised and upgraded the ABLE Tax Act.
What does that mean?
Well, the ABLE is, it's an acronym meaning.
Is that like Abel and Cain?
It's called Achieving a Better Life Experience. That's what that acronym is for. It's called ABLE, and it's a tax-favored account, basically. It's sort of like a 529 plan for education.
But is that like where you put money back to put your kids through college?
That's a 529 plan, and that's where you put money in, and it grows tax-free. If you use it for the purpose that you set it up for.
And you put it in with after-tax money or
before-tax money? No, you put it in with, in the case of, it's in some states they allow a deduction for this, but we don't have a state tax here in Florida, so there's really no tax benefit up front.
Sort of like a Roth IRA?
It's like a Roth IRA, exactly. But Roth is for retirement purposes. The 529 is for education purposes.
What's ABLE for?
ABLE is for disabled individuals. And you set up an account for a disabled individual, and that disabled individual is the beneficiary. Whatever, you can put up to $15,000 a year into this account, and it'll grow tax-free as long as the funds are used for the well-being of the person who needs that disability.
Now let me ask this, and I would love for have Greg to have been here today, because I know that there are certain trusts that you can set up for your disabled children.
Yeah, special needs trust.
But if they are not done properly, let's say the government is helping that child. If they inherit a bunch of money and it's not done right, it can affect those benefits.
Oh, definitely. And plus there are complications to it, and I wish he was here to go through it, because it's not, it has a lot of benefits, but also a lot of downsides to those.
Because, you know, if you are a parent of an adult child that had special needs, that's got to be a big burden on you, knowing that you're reaching the end of your life to make sure that your child will be taken care of.
And these funds allow you to put money away. As I say, they'll grow tax-free. So if the child is a very young child or even an adult, you put the money in. And the other provision that they added to this was if you work, Dan, if this disabled person works, they can put up to $12,000 of their earnings
on
top of the 15.
Oh, wow.
So it's quite substantial and quite a nice thing that the government did. That was all part of the new tax act. They expanded this as part of the tax act. It was there.
At what point can they draw the money out? Do they have to be in a retirement age?
I don't know exactly that, to be honest. I don't know. But I do know it has to be for the care and comfort of the disabled person. But I don't know if you have to keep it there for 5 years or you could immediately withdraw it. I suppose if logic serves me, you'd be able to take it out at any time because the benefit is to you to keep it there because it gets tax-free to whatever you grow it. So if you take it out, it's not income to you. So
if I was listening at home and I heard this and I had a child that had these specific needs, it'd be great to be able to get together with you and Greg and use the wisdom that the two of you have to create this.
Absolutely. And set up these accounts. These accounts are available to be done. And the thing is that it's the best and best kept secret of the
tax
code.
That's the first I've ever heard.
Yeah, I came across it reading through the literature. You know, I got this book here.
Yeah, I see that. And I have the one Tax Code for Dummies. That's the one I have.
So I've been reading this thing diligently, and every once in a while I come up with something that's very interesting, so I bring it and share it with the audience.
Well, I diligently have been thinking about our phone number, and so let me give it, 888-221-8990. If you wish to ask a question of any of the guests or participate in the show, you can. But one of the things that I think we're beginning to delve into is, it seems in the state of Florida, there are a lot of areas where people can be abused by people in our various businesses. As a matter of fact, just a couple of weeks ago, I became knowledgeable about a family who was down from North Carolina to try and take care of their 92-year-old grandfather, and their financial advisor had made a quitclaim deed where the house was going to go to the financial advisor and his wife rather than to the granddaughter and the son-in-law of the 92-year-old grandfather. And, you know, it is prevalent in the state of Florida. You hear these cases more and more. Of course, it happens in other states, too, with our population that we have of people that are over the age of 60 in Florida compared to other states. Education is a really important thing, and that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about a little later with you, is some of the things I learned about the car business to help you not to bash other dealerships. And Mike, does the same thing happen as far as people who are in the mortgage lending business trying to get people higher interest rates rather than lower interest rates?
Well, not as much as it was in the past. There were new rules enacted where mortgage originators really are limited on what they can steer you into. And that's exactly what it was in the past. It was steering people into a particular loan program that paid, that wasn't the best for the consumer, it was best for the loan officer.
When you say the past, are you referring to pre-08-09?
Correct. There were a lot of mortgage programs out there, one of them called an option arm. An option arm is an adjustable rate mortgage that allowed for what's called negative amortization, where you didn't pay even your interest payment. You paid less. So what happened is, as time went on, the balance increased instead of decreased. And that, when you coupled it with a decrease in the real estate values, was just a recipe for disaster. And why did they sell this? A lot of times because it paid the loan officer more money. So there are new rules in place that kind of dissuades that. And the where now a loan officer cannot benefit by selling you a different particular loan program. Matter of fact, they cannot benefit by any of the terms of the loan. So they can't benefit more by steering you into an FHA loan versus a conventional loan versus a USDA loan versus an ARM versus a fixed rate mortgage. They have to get paid the same no matter what loan program they sell. And that is a new rule set forth by the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Thank you, Mike. Dan, you were talking earlier before the show about insuring a lease car and making sure that you have proper insurance on the lease car. Can you talk a little bit about that discussion?
I can, Alan. You know, usually when you lease a car, they have certain requirements for your liability insurance, and it's usually $100,000, $300,000 for bodily injury, and $100,000 for property damage, and then naturally they're going to want comp and collision to protect the lender. Now, that's all most people know. There are some carriers that will write a policy with an endorsement to give the lease company the $100,000, $300,000 that they require and allow you as the consumer to buy a lower amount. So in many cases, it can save you a lot of money, especially if you are, let's say, a younger driver who likes the idea of maybe a lower lease payment. But when he combines that with the higher insurance requirement, it's not a good deal for him. So, you know, it doesn't work for everybody, but it's an option that, just like, you know, we were saying earlier, most people don't know. I didn't know the thing, you know, that Vince was talking about. I hadn't heard that before. And most people hadn't heard about this option either. So it is an option out there for some people that have a lease car that might allow them to afford a more reasonably priced product.
I see. Vince, as far as the taxes for that we'll be paying in 2019, how far has the IRS gotten so far in informing you as to tax law changes?
Well, they're still coming out with regulations, but they are starting to formulate them and publish them. They're starting, and the forms are very, I understand, they're well on their way to completing the new forms. So the IRS seems to be on top of it. I mean, they've got a whole year's notice, so if they're not.
So this would be a good time, Vince, if you have a complicated return, to sit down with your tax professional, or even better, give you a call and set up an appointment to review, because these laws will be changing.
Oh, yes. And in fact, last week, I think I mentioned that to the audience, that you should be sitting down with your tax preparer, tax professional, to go over, because even if you're an employee, you know, they changed the withholding tables in February to accommodate the new law, but that doesn't mean that you're on target for
absolutely not,
because every circumstance is different. Everybody's a little different. Some people have homes, some don't. It's so you really should sit down with your professional and go through it, do a little projection, and see how it's going to impact you, especially those that are in self-employment businesses, S corporations, partnerships. It's going to have a major impact,
Many of the deductions have been eliminated altogether. Yes. So if your tax strategy included some of those things, you might find yourself in a lot of trouble later.
Well, yes. And there's good and bad in the law. I mean, the standard deduction was raised, for example, a married couple, from 12,700 to 24,000, which is all good. But then they took back the exemptions from you, so you don't have personal exemptions. So if you have four kids and you and your wife, then you had a six exemptions worth $4,000 each, $4,050 each. So you're losing that.
Yeah, it seems like most of the business tax exemptions haven't really changed that much.
Oh no, they've changed dramatically.
Especially the entertainment is gone.
Oh, that's on the downside. I'll talk to you about the upside.
Only if you do a lot of entertaining.
Let's put it this way. Sometimes what you see down as entertainment maybe isn't entertainment. But
it's advertising.
That's another story. But no, on the upside, Mike, there's something called this A199 deduction, which you've probably heard about, which is the potential to get an additional 20% deduction on your personal tax level for pass-through income.
No, for
things
your
like S-Corps and right. LLCs.
Now, no, but the actual expenses that were designated for business,
yeah,
they really didn't change all that much.
Yes, they did, particularly with entertainment. Mm-hmm. Entertainment, but even that now, they're starting to chisel that out. You know, what exactly is entertainment?
They're fine-tuning that.
Some things are very obvious, like, you know, you want to give your client tickets to a Dolphin game or something. Mm-hmm. That's not going to be allowed. However, if you have a business meal and you can document it, and you went out and you discussed business, I mean, I don't see that changing. Hmm. And that's what I'm reading.
Well, couldn't that be construed as marketing expenses?
Well, some people might construe it as marketing.
That's when you give them a pen at meal. That's marketing.
Yeah. Advertising.
So if you write the name of your company on the Dolphins ticket that you give
them. No. That's still entertainment.
Now, what I do, I have a big calendar on my desk, and it's about a 3-inch square for every day, and everywhere I go and everything I do, I write it down.
Yep.
And at the end of the month, when I do my taxes, I mean my monthly return, I fold it up, shove it in that envelope, and then put it away. That's done for the month, just in case.
And by the way, just as an update, and I was trying to find the exact answer, but just suffice to say, there's another two benefits that ABLE account I was telling you about. One is you can move money from a Roth or some other non-taxed account and move it in there. So you can move money. And also it's eligible for savers credit as well. So you should know that.
Anyway, if any of our loyal listeners would like to entertain us with a question that they might have for our guest, Vince Rizzino, Mike Paulus, or Dan Warren, our phone number is 888-221-8990. And Mike, we were talking briefly about the fact that housing sales were down a little bit, new home sales, but you said that was due to lack of inventory. And
yeah, this has really affected our business too, the whole industry as a whole, because the numbers, if you compare originations now to this quarter last year, originations are down. Our numbers are down 9%, and it's not for lack of buyers, it's for lack of inventory. So what happened is, after the recession in 2009, a lot of the builders ceased to put any new product on the market. So now there was a pent-up demand, and the new products, the new housing that's coming on the market now, are all in the $400,000 or $500,000 price range and higher. The reason why is the builders can profit more than that. If you're going to build a house, why not build a house where you're going to profit more? So there's no, affordably priced housing coming on the market, and that's creating quite a demand, and it's driving up prices. So The biggest problem I'm having with qualifying people is they can't go out and find a product or house in their price range.
So what I'm hearing, if I was a contractor, which I'm not, but if I was, I could probably make myself an excellent living if I were to concentrate on homes under $250,000.
You got it.
Yeah, but the builders make their money on the fluff, the things that drive up the price of the house. So they're unlikely. Now, there are certain areas that won't support higher price housing. If you go out to Indian Town, Okeechobee, you know, you're not going to sell many houses of $400,000 or $500,000. That market really is more like $150,000 to $250,000. And there are builders out there building in that price range. There just isn't any in our market. There's a few, but for the most part, they're not keeping up with the demand in that market.
See, I believe in the markets, that the markets do correct. And so if this is huge demand, because I have some clients that are in the construction industry, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to build that in that sweet spot between $200,000 and $250,000, mm-hmm. Because there is a big demand. I mean, this one guy's got orders up the yin yang. You can't even support them right now. You can't build them fast enough.
Well, obviously, there's a larger demand for more moderate price houses than $500,000 houses. So it's just that they're not coming online fast enough to keep up with the demand, and it's driving up the prices. Now, that combined with some higher interest rates is starting to create some difficulties qualifying these borrowers. So even though you have a qualified borrower, they might not qualify for the product that's out there.
See, in my business, in the insurance business, there are many agencies that refuse to work with a customer who has less than a $5,000 premium. And the justification is that $500 I'm going to make is the minimum I'm going to ever work on a project for. I can't afford to do it any less. And I've always been under the impression I would never run my business that way. Mm-hmm. What I hope for is a small client who over time becomes that way. And if I was a builder, I would say I'm going to offer a $200,000 product. Maybe 10 years from now, he's going to want a $400,000 house. Or maybe as I'm building his house, his wife decides, you know what, I really like that crown molding, or I want this and that, and all of a sudden now it's $225,000.
Yeah.
Giving the client what he needs versus what I want to sell him, mm-hmm. is a totally different thing.
Yeah, but sometimes it's really not a factor of the builders. It's not that they're not wanting or willing to build those houses. It's the overall cost. The impact fees that the counties are charging, you know, the cost of acquiring the land, which is becoming a rarity. There's
it
just
is.
Not
You're
a whole
right.
lot of land out there. So, you know, if you put yourself into their position, they're going to look for, if they're going to go through all the impact fees and all the building permits and all the nonsense that the county requires, they're going to go for the bigger, higher profit houses before they go with the
but you know what drove expensive. Me because I grew up in Palm Beach County,
mm-hmm.
housing prices drove me out of Palm Beach County, mm-hmm. to St. Lucie County long ago, and I thought to myself, why would I want to spend that kind of money when I can get the exact same product, mm-hmm. on maybe in a different area for 40% less? What am I missing? All right.
No, and that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing transplants coming from down south, moving up to St. Lucie County, for example, because really the commute's not that bad. It's not like we're in a high traffic area. You can hop on 95 and get to your job in, you know, Palm Beach County. Maybe it takes you an extra 15 or 20 minutes. It really doesn't take that long.
Yeah, and I have a bunch of clients that commute because, A, in many cases, the salary level is a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
And B, the housing costs here are lower in St. Lucie County especially, and that has caused a big influx to come up because now they have more disposable income to do all the wonderful things they were looking to do that they couldn't afford to do down south.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's kind of classical, Dan, you know, that the further away from the hub you go, the cheaper the housing is, but the offset is the commute. And so you're trading off the commute for quality of life.
And that happens within a county. I mean, so like I said, I grew up in Palm Beach County. I remember when Wellington was being built, all right, and they were trying to entice all these important doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs to move out to lovely Wellington to get away from all that hubbub of downtown West Palm. And then they rehabbed downtown West Palm and said, hey, if you want to get to the courthouse and you want to get to the, you know, to the hospital, you better buy a condo down here in West Palm and just spend a weekend here.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you move within the county sometimes because the work is here, but I want to live there.
Yeah. Yeah, but one of the big advantages of moving out to, say, St. Lucie County or even Martin County versus Palm Beach County is the difference in the real estate taxes.
Yeah.
The taxes are quite a bit lower, you know, in the northern counties.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So there's some other benefits, too.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, at this point, Dan, you made the comment a couple of minutes ago about people in sales selling to you and not paying too much attention to what your needs are rather than their desire to make a profit. And that leads me into the story of what happened to me. But again, what I'm saying is this is not going to be specific against or for any dealership, because what happened to me and the way around it is much more important to talk about, because people who are buying cars in Florida, it is very prevalent that they a lot of times get scammed, especially if you're an older person or a person like myself with a disability. As many of you know who listen to WCNO, I have cerebral palsy, and that happened to me. I had 1 year to go on a lease car, and I was just beginning to look at, I wanted to buy a car that was going to last me a number of years. The reason I leased a couple of years ago was because of the fact a good friend said to me that they're putting a lot of new safety features on the cars that aren't on them yet, but they will be in a couple of years. And he was absolutely right. Things like front sensors, emergency braking, all that wonderful technology. Well, I asked a friend what I should consider buying, and he said, you know, a Studebaker would be absolutely great for you. And as it happened, as we were talking on the phone as I was driving, I passed the Studebaker dealership and turned around and went to the Studebaker dealership. That was mistake number one that I made. That the mistake I made was not doing my due diligence on the car that I was intended to buy or the dealership itself. As it turned out, I was at a dealership with a D- Better Business Bureau rating because the dealership had not responded to 6 complaints to the Better Business Bureau. Other dealers that sold the same make of Studebaker, they all had A+ rating. So that was mistake number one, not doing your due diligence. Then, when I picked out the Studebaker I wanted, mistake number two was not leaving the dealership and doing some more due diligence as far as what the car might cost me, what I should ask. So I had no idea. And then the first mistake that the Studebaker dealer made, and it was really a mistake on my part, but it turned out on their part, was the fact that they asked for the keys to my lease car. They just wanted to see it. I had no objection. But then when I was getting tired, and this is called the waiting game, and I had arrived at the Studebaker dealership about 1:30, and around 5 o'clock, I asked for the keys to my lease car, and they said, no, you can't have it because your car has been tagged. I didn't really understand what that meant, but I was already getting tired. I wanted to go home, eat dinner, take medication. So I was just sitting there. Make a long story short, about 7:30 at night, I, as an attorney, signed the contract. I bought a $40,000 Studebaker, and I was financing over $54,000 for 6 years. That I didn't realize until Tuesday when I read the contract the next morning and saw what I had done. Well, what happened is I was able to get a meeting with the owner of the dealership. The owner of the dealership said, I'll give you back $2,500. That was more than half of my lease payment, so I accepted that. What happened was the owner said that the check would be in the mail the next day. I said, fine. After 7 days of the check not coming back, I got mad and I did more due diligence and I found Studebaker dealership number two. Studebaker dealership number two was virtually the exact opposite of Studebaker dealership number one. One other thing I should mention to you is when we were negotiating price, the Studebaker dealership number one kept on saying to me, we will pay your lease payment. We will pay your lease payment. So I thought, that's a pretty good deal, getting $4,500 off of MSRP on my new Studebaker. That was going to be great. Well, what happened is in the contract, they paid my former leasor the money, but they added it to the contract. They used my money to pay for it. So in short, I was financing $54,000 on a $40,000 car. But I found dealer number two, Studebaker number two, and what Studebaker number two did, the first thing they did was they gave me a hotline, internal hotline number to Studebaker headquarters. And I complained 8 days after the $2,500 check didn't arrive, and it was recorded, and the lady I was talking to was a lady by the name of Angie, and Angie asked me one question. How much are you paying for your new Toyota? Oh, Studebaker, I mean. And Angie said, $389. And she said, $389 for a Studebaker? That is ridiculous. Right on tape. Well, what happened in short is Studebaker dealer number one, as I said, has an A+ Better Business rating. Number two. Yes, thank you, Pastor Dave. They do not Mickey Mouse prices. They give you one price, the base of your car. When it comes to options and gap insurance, they show you a listing of all the options you can get and how it will affect your monthly payments. And the final point of dealer two is when you get the contract, like all car dealer contracts, it says once you sign the contract, that basically is it. Right, Dan? Well,
that's right.
Dealer number two, Studebaker number two, adds one sentence to that contract. And the sentence is, you may take this contract and review it before you sign it. And Studebaker dealer number two does one more thing. I was able to drive my new Studebaker off of their lot, and if I wanted to return it within 3 days, they would take it back, no questions asked. So the fact that the check didn't arrive for 8 days, I believe, was God's intervention. But the point is you've got to be educated going into these car dealerships, because too many of them are looking to take advantage of you. And it's not only car dealerships. It's buying a home. It's the medical care. It's needing all sorts of services, lawn care. If you have weaknesses, there are too many people in this state who are out to exploit you. Am I right or wrong?
You're absolutely
on that?
Right.
Victoria, welcome. Victoria Lloyd has joined us now. Premier Remax of Stewart Realtor, for
a premier realtor with RE/MAX Stewart.
Well,
thank you.
If you're not a premier, I'll go to your second and third and fourth and fifth show.
You're a premier.
Thank you.
You're being sold out anyway, aren't you, Victoria? Don't you wish? Anyway, welcome. But as you can tell, I basically told the story. And Are there unscrupulous real estate agents? Let's put it that way.
Well, it's funny because I just left. I was texting Mike, and I was over at Growth Management or at Martin County to know about some zoning on a property before I even listed it. And I told her I worked for building and zoning for many years in Maryland. And she said, well, God, it's so great to have somebody that has the knowledge of it. And thanks for your patience because you have to wait so long to even talk to somebody. But when I got in there, she says, I can't believe, and I really appreciate the fact that you're coming here and asking these questions before even, I said, because I'm a different kind of realtor. I'm not the one that goes and just wants to put a listing up and then try to sell it and tell anybody they want to hear. And she says, most people do. And she said, she sees a lot of that happens. Hmm. And she says, why would they even want to jeopardize their license like that? And I call them my boo bears, my good boo bears and my bad boo bears. And, you know, because I've been selling since 1978 around here, and I've seen a lot of crazy things that have happened. And even recently in contracts that I get, and Mike knows, you know, I like to know the details of it and make sure if somebody says, oh, no, don't worry, you don't have to add that microwave. Well, you do have to add it. Oh, that's just a fixture. Well, no, it says on the contract.
All fixtures.
What's included.
Absolutely.
And what is not included. So if it's in that personal property that's written out and you don't divide them as it tells you to, you could be in trouble.
You don't want that old seller to take all his appliances with him when he leaves.
Well, you know what's really funny, and it's true. I've had one person that has done that, and I told this to this realtor, that remember they used to tell us to make copies of the serial numbers because they try to change them out.
They replace them with inferior product.
They do.
Yeah.
And it has happened only once in all the years I've been doing it.
But I could just imagine you pulling out that refrigerator to get the serial number on the back.
Well, no, they're in the front. You open up a refrigerator. On the
door.
It's right
inside. I wouldn't even know that.
You don't even know that?
No.
See? Well, see, you got to do. Just open. Now, when you get home, I want you to open your refrigerator, and you're going to see that, the model and the serial number
together. I'll try to take notice of that.
I'll try to take notice. You mean you can't tell when your wife changes her polish on her nails every day?
Yeah, well,
like, honey, you're in red today.
I'm more likely to notice the refrigerator being changed out.
Well, I'll tell you something. I was trying to keep the show on a higher, sophisticated level without Joe being here, but you had to mention Boo Bears, Victoria.
Bears.
That just shot that idea.
Well, that is a high level. I think Boo Bears are nice. I think I was being very nice.
Yes, you were.
And I love little Boo
Absolutely.
Bears.
Great.
Some are fuzzy and some aren't.
You know, Victoria,
Victoria, you're aware of the housing figures today, that the housing figures were down a little bit.
Well, from June of 2017, we're a little lower than June of 2017.
And Mike was just talking before you arrived that inventory is a problem. Are you seeing a problem with inventory in the 150 to 250,000 range?
Yeah, those lower ranges are hard, absolutely. I mean, but we still have them. I mean, I'm under contract under 200,000 now that I had listed, but we listed at a good value. It's worth more than that, and we knew that. So we are under contract within a week of that, so that's lovely. And it's a beautiful home. So, I mean, they are out there. And I can tell you every day when I look at mine, you can see where prices, I know they're saying prices have gone up, but there's little arrows, and these little arrows show that some of these prices are coming down. And you do see every day that there's new listings that are going on the market. So when I wake up in the morning at, depending 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning that I get on the computer, where you might say, oh, there's 20 new listings, and by the end of the day, there's 500 new listings. So they are coming up all the time.
Hmm.
And they're not just in our area. It's our, you know, on our Treasure Coast area.
And at this point, would you say that the real estate market is for the most part stable, that if somebody wants to buy a home there, they can?
I'm going to keep making this statement. There's no place in this world you can go and get prices as low as ours. There's just not.
For what you get, right?
The best value is I've ever seen. I mean, wherever I go and whatever I do, I mean, we're a steal. I mean, in the listings I might have on the beach that are under $1 million, all the people from down south are coming up because you're talking a minimum of $1.2 million. So when we're at 300,000 or 700,000 for, almost 2,000 square foot condo on the water that's under $1 million, and they're $1.5 million down south, we're... And they're only an hour and a half away from us. It's amazing how great our values still are.
And you know, one of the things that we just found out from one of our major carriers is they will insure a home if it's 1,000 feet or more from the ocean.
Oh.
Now, how many houses on the island, there's a lot, that are on the west side, say overlooking the river here, that are over 1,000 feet?
A lot of them.
A lot of them. So, and before, we would turn them to citizens because we had no place to put them. So we had a major carrier open that up. So things are changing.
Absolutely.
Things are changing.
You know what else I heard, too, that there's some new private insurance companies insuring, doing flood insurance.
Yeah, that's what Dan talked about before.
Many of them give you a flood endorsement with the policy, which if you do that, now there's only one deductible. So if your house is, say, involved in a hurricane and it's flooded and damaged, there's only one deductible. And we have some carriers that actually also do that with your auto. They can, let's say you're unlucky enough to run into your garage with your own car. There's only one deductible. So, yeah, there's some good changes happening right now.
Yeah, it is, and it's great that there is. And it just like with Vincent, all the changes that are happening and with the
tax code, yeah, all good.
Yeah,
all good.
They're all good things.
Over for business, particularly for business and for consumers.
Well,
in general,
let's go back to what they were talking about on the TV about these people coming from New York that want to buy here to be in a lower tax bracket,
right?
And how they're going to police us and say, if you know how much time do you really spend here to get this benefit? But let's stop and think about that. How many people are going to look at your cell phone, and how many? You know, you really have to do something very stupid, which forward all your mail back to New York.
It depends on the state, because the states are very keen on this, particularly New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, very keen on it.
But how are they going to look at my, like they said, look at my cell phone all the time to see where I'm located at all times?
Oh, I didn't say they're going to look only at your cell phone. There's lots of other evidence they can look at to see where you are.
Well, the number one thing has been mail return. That has been the worst here.
There's a whole cadre of things that they'll look at, including where you register your vehicle, where do you vote, where does your, not just your mail come, where are your investments, what's the address on your investment
brokerage account. No, I understand that.
There's so many things they look at, and the most important thing is keeping a log of the days that you're in and out of the state.
I feel like I'm in Canada now.
In New York, if you have those easy passes, we have them here too. They can track you where you went. They know when you left the state, when you come back
into
the state.
No, that's so true. The easy passes alone. I forgot
about Sugar wants his money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I lent my car to you the whole time.
Damn. Well, now, a lot of these, you know, when you go through these things, they take pictures of you sometimes, you know. They know who's driving the cars, too.
Yeah.
Dan, almost every night on the news, I'm seeing somebody being rescued from a car because of flooding in some part of the country.
Mississippi, Iowa.
What happens if, by accident, you drive into a flooded street and your car's flooded out? How does insurance
handle
that?
If you have comprehensive coverage, which is, you know, fire, theft, flooding, vandalism, you're going to be covered for that. Now, one of the biggest problems that I have seen, let's say in the last couple months, are people who buy new cars, put little to no money down, don't buy the gap insurance, and within 30 to 60 days, total them out or severely damage them. We just had a client in Vero who ran into a train and totaled his car all out.
Oh,
so
yeah, people,
so he's upside down. He's way upside down. So they may give you, you know, let's say you owe $20,000 on your loan, and the true value of your car may only be like 17 or 18. And if you don't have that gap difference, guess what? You're paying for a car that you can't even drive. So if you put a good bit of money down, or let's say you have a nice trade to trade in that brings the loan amount down, now you probably don't need that. You're probably in a good position. But many people are sold on these, hey, no money down, your first payment's not due for 3-4 months. Isn't life wonderful? Well, now if you're the unlucky one who has a major accident or they total out their car and it's your fault, you'll probably owe more money than the insurance company pays.
Yeah, and I know of somebody that said that they did have that problem. They had an accident, and with the new one, they did get gap insurance. And can you get gap insurance? I mean, there's one company that you hear about all the time on TV, and I really hadn't heard about it until then.
You know,
there are a lot of companies that do have gap insurance.
Most carriers do, and you know what? Most reputable dealers will almost always offer that. And
will they?
Once again, they make a commission.
Is that something that's expensive, or is it based on
the value of the vehicle.
Dollar value, yeah.
You know, so you go buy a new Bentley, be prepared to pay a lot. You buy a low-end, you know, compact car, probably not so much. I mean, Absolutely not so
much. I saw
much.
A beautiful Bentley last night.
I just have to mention this. Studebaker Dealer One, their profit on the gap insurance was double what Studebaker Dealer Two was. So that's
was
another.
It? Was it? How much? So how, what kind of dollar figures would you say? Was it $300, $400, $500?
I happen to know this, that the gap insurance at the Studebaker Dealer cost about $460, and Studebaker Dealer Number One was $949. Studebaker Dealer Number Two was $645.
You know, most people don't realize that these dealerships make money on the financing as well.
Absolutely.
Oh, so when you go in there with cash, you're probably less likely to get a good deal than if you were going to finance the car through them. Sometimes it's better to go in with the idea of financing
and just pay it off,
and then pay it off early.
Well, the best financing of all is with Studebaker Dealer Number Two. I was able to get, instead of 5% a year for 6 years, I got 0% for 5 years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, what most people do, I get this question all the time, should I lease or buy? And I tell them that that's a financing decision. The lease or the buy is just a financing tool, how you want to do it. But what you must be careful, and I advise them, when you go in, negotiate a cash price, the best cash price you can, and then ask them to show you a lease. And then look what they cap into that lease, right, because they're going to put all these other charges in there, potentially, which drive up the cost of the cap, and then therefore your monthly payments are higher. Well, so you got to be careful when you're doing
and you
this.
Can also talk to the dealer, because I'll do this strategy sometimes. I will say, if I finance, how long do I have to make payments so you will get paid, and then I'll pay it off. So they know that we're still on the same wavelength. And I'll say, I will do that for you, because if you pay it off too quickly, they'll get a chargeback.
Right.
So I'll say, I will honor my agreement with you, but you must reflect that to me in the sale of the car.
Yeah, which is nice. Well, I got to tell you, with leasing a car for me is never, I did it one time, and it was the worst thing I ever did, because I drive too many miles.
Yeah.
Well, that's, and because I drive too many miles, it was a killer at the end, and I had to pay out a lot of money at that time, and it wasn't even worth it. And
that's strange, Dan. I mean, wouldn't you think that the insurance on a leased vehicle, because you're limited with the miles you can drive, wouldn't it be more reasonable for insurance on a lease?
You're only limited to what the contract on the lease says. You can drive as many miles as you want.
Right, as long as you're willing to pay.
Yeah, willing to pay 8 cents a mile over, or 10 cents a mile.
But you're
likely
to put over $5,000 at the end. Yeah.
A lot. And that's logical, but most insurance companies, not all, but most insurance companies do not give a low mileage discount anymore. Some do, and you know, we do have carriers that do that. So let's suppose you leased it, you took a low mileage lease. If we have all that information, we can steer you into the best value for your money. Mm-hmm. All right. So just like a lot of things, you know, the ad that says, hey, we can get you done in, you know, 7 minutes. Well, that's impossible for, in my opinion, to do a good job. For me to get all the data that I need and to talk to you, I just could never do it.
Yeah, it's hard.
It takes you longer than that just to establish what your needs are.
It takes me that long to say, how you doing when I have a cup of coffee? Da, da, da.
Is that one of those 20% for 20-minute deals?
Yes, yes.
Well, I think another point is people sometimes go into car dealerships and they want to know, how much is it going to cost me a month? Because they're looking how much they can afford in the monthly payment. But really, the thing you should do is negotiate the price of the vehicle and then see if the monthly payment can fit into that. Maybe you're into too expensive a vehicle that you really don't need.
A lot of people buy payment. And you know what? I don't judge that. You know, if you got someone who's you know, really struggling, sometimes that payment is the best option.
Absolutely.
Or the only option.
But I'm saying if you can, if you can, try and find your best deal first. If you really are set on a car.
Remember what we talked about when we all sat down? The educated consumer is the best consumer we can deal with. And that's what the whole show's been about, is educate yourself on the things that you're interested in.
I haven't bought a new car in 20 years. I buy one that's 2 years old that's still under warranty, and let someone else take the hit.
Absolutely.
Unless you drive that car off the lot, you're losing half the value.
I do the same thing, and I do it that way, too.
It's true.
Yeah.
But the other thing is when you talked about a $50,000 car that you're going to pay $54,000, that was a house. You know, people bought homes for $3,000 and $4,000, and you know, in Florida when I first came, they were like $10,000 to $13,000, and now you're buying cars. I mean, it's a major, major purchase.
I just had a borrower come in and to get pre-qualified, and they just recently, 3 months ago, bought a got into a brand new car loan. It was $600. Well, that affected usually what they were able to buy as a house. So you have to make some choices. You want to buy a nice car, a nice shiny new car, or do you want to buy a nice new house?
Depends on the ego.
Well, I'd take the house.
I would take the house.
Do you
also
want to put your money in a depreciating asset?
I want both.
Or do you want to put it in an appreciating?
There you go. She wants both.
I want both.
That's right.
So I'm going to work two jobs. Why not?
I view my car as a tool. Yeah, I use it for work. I ride it through my business. It's just transportation, and I know that our society wants to convince you if you drive a certain car with a, you know, certain prestige, your life will be perfect. But we all know that's not true.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what they try to do with people, and that's why these girls walk around with certain purses and clothes, and they want to be something. You know,
they're not.
And that's why the next bubble is the auto loans that
are
about to break, because a lot of these dealers have encouraged and lent, like same in the mortgage area,
right,
where they've lowered the standard a little bit. They've allowed people to buy bigger cars with bigger payments.
Well, the subprime auto market is already in major trouble.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to. Yeah, that subprime market.
And you know what breaks my heart more than anything? When I'm driving down the road and here comes this tractor trailer and all those cars have been compressed down to nothing. And I look at that and I go, oh my gosh. Each one of those cars probably were about $40,000 or $50,000, and there's tons of them, and they're all compressed.
Yeah.
Oh, and the struggles people went through to do that, it amazes me.
Well, I just want to thank Dan for being here today, and Victoria, and Mike, and Vince. I hope everybody found that they got some wonderful wisdom out of this, and I guess the bottom line is you have to know what you're doing, and the best way of doing that is to educate yourself, but also to go and find people like Vince and like Mike and Victoria and Dan and Joe and Greg, the Martech Team Martech group. They're here to help you, and that's why they do these shows, in order to help you. And the bottom line is that the Lord is with us, and I was able to renegotiate a contract with dealer number two. Dealer number one was professional in the way they handled the situation and letting me out of the contract. So the story ended well, but the story is that please protect yourself. Don't be intimidated because somebody has a sign that they're a CPA or an accountant. They're there to help you. No question is a question that you shouldn't ask. And I thank you all for listening. This has been Team Martech Hour on WCNO 89.9. And David, am I getting the cut sign? Yes, I am. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
God bless.
You've been listening to the Team Martech program. The Team Martech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725.